ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 9, Answers by citing the Lord's version, verse number 22. Manishitanu bhavoyam, mama lokavalokanam. Yat upashrutya rahasi chakartha paramam tapaha. Manishita, ingenuity. Anubhavaha, perception. I am. This. Mama, my. Loka, abode. Avalokanam, seeing by actual experience. Yat, because. Upashrutya, hearing. Rahasi, in great penance. Chakartha, having performed. Paramam, highest. Tapaha, penance. The highest perfectional ingenuity is the personal perception of my abodes. And this has been possible because of your submissive attitude in the performance of severe penance according to my order. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The highest perfectional stage of life is to know the Lord by actual perception, by the grace of the Lord. This can be attained by everyone who is willing to discharge the act of devotional service to the Lord, as enjoined in the revealed scriptures that are standard and accepted by the bona fide acharyas, spiritual masters. For example, the Bhagavad Gita is the approved Vedic literature accepted by all the great acharyas such as Shankara, Ramanuja, Madhva, Chaitanya, Vishwanatha, Baladev, Siddhanta Saraswati and many others. In the Bhagavad Gita, the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, asks that one always be mindful of Him, always be His devotee, always worship Him only, and always bow down before the Lord. And by doing so, one is sure to go back home, back to Godhead, without any doubt. In other places also, the same order is there, that one give up all other engagements and fully surrender unto the Lord without hesitation. And the Lord will give such a devotee all protection. These are the secrets of attaining the highest perfectional stage. Lord Brahma exactly followed these principles without any superiority complex, and thus he attained the highest perfectional stage of experiencing the abode of the Lord and the Lord himself with all his paraphernalia. Impersonal realization of the effulgence of the Lord's body is not the highest perfectional stage, nor is the stage of Paramatma realization. The word Manishita is significant. Everyone is falsely or factually proud of his so-called learning, but the Lord says that the highest perfectional stage of learning is to know Him and His abode, devoid of all illusion. Om Ajnana Timiranthasya Jnananchana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam. వందేహం శ్రీగురో శ్రీయుత పదకమలం శ్రీగరున్ వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణరఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపాదాన్ సహగణలలిత శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పదే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే వాంఛకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పదితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః జై శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే భూదైర్మహాధ్వర్యమా పురో విభూ నిర్మాయ శేతే యదమూష పూరుష భుంక్తే గుణాన్ షోడశ షోడశాత్మకః సోలంకృషీష్ట భగవాన్ వచాంసి మే. హరే కృష్ణ. ద లార్డ్ కంటిన్యూస్ స్పీకింగ్ టు బ్రహ్మ అబౌట్ ద గ్రేట్ అచీవ్మెంట్ దట్ హీ హ్యాస్ అటైన్డ్ having performed great austerities, param tapaha, as it is mentioned in this verse. So Lord Brahma is the first living entity who came out from the abdomen of the Supreme Lord, and rightly he performed austerities in Krishna consciousness, that is known as tapaha, which is divyam. It is transcendental by nature, not for any material benefit, but for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord himself. Here, the last part of the purport says, the word Manishita is significant. Everyone is falsely or factually proud of his so-called learning. But the Lord says that the highest perfectional stage of learning is to know him and his abode devoid of all illusion. Let's try to look upon these points. It's very interesting to know that the highest understanding is not just know the Lord, but understanding the Lord along with his shaktis, along with his expansions, along with his paraphernalia. As nectar of devotion, the first verse, the definition of devotional service in itself says, Anya Bhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karmadi Anavratam Anukulyena Krishnanushilanam Bhaktir Uttama. So when it is mentioned Krishna, Krishna is referring to not just the Supreme Lord as the Vrajendra Nandan Krishna, but all his expansions, and not only his expansions, but all his paraphernalia, all his abode, and whatever is in connection to the Supreme Lord. So one who sees everything and everyone in connection to Krishna, that is definitely a highest platform. So here, the Lord Brahma is seeing the supreme abode of the Lord, and he is seeing it as known different from the Lord himself. One who separates the Lord's paraphernalia, the Lord's energy from the Lord, he is not seeing rightly. That is impersonalism. Separating the Lord's energy from the Lord and attributing the Lord's energy as illusion is the basis of impersonalism. So Srila Prabhupada is cutting down the impersonal concept, which is very prevalent in this world. So anything in connection to Krishna is worshipable. And we know, especially his devotees, as Lord Shiva says, Tadiyanam Samacharan, Tadiyanam, that which is connected to the Supreme Lord. So Lord Brahma is getting that vision. And in our daily life, whatever is connected to Krishna, we do respect. we don't kick. You know, we are not even supposed to kick even anything in connection to Krishna. A bucket, with a prasadam bucket. We see sometimes people kicking prasadam bucket. Have you seen? I tell them, don't do this. Because it is in connection to Krishna. Even a door, we are not supposed to kick. In connection to Krishna. So whatever we see, we have to see in connection to Krishna. So this is the training by which we can see ultimately everything in connection to Krishna. So if we don't see which the material, the so-called material objects which are used in Krishna's service, if we don't see that connection and if we mistreat them, then what is the hope of seeing everything in connection to Krishna? Which is the highest stage of devotional service. As Chaitanya Charitamrita mentioned, Sthavara jangama deke na deke tara murti sarvatra hai nija ishta deva spruti. That is, an advanced devotee, he is not seeing the so-called forms in the material nature. He is only seeing one thing, that is sarvatra hai nija ishta deva spruti. That is ishta deva, the worshipable lord. Who is the Ishtadev, the most dear Lord of the heart? He is seeing his manifestation everywhere. So, even though we philosophize sometimes, the Ajintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, the known difference between the Supreme Lord and his energies, when it comes to the practical application, we have to start from seeing the objects which are used in service of Krishna with respect. Then we are actually trying to see, yes, we are seeing Krishna's energies rightly used in Krishna's service and we are respecting them. It applies to the objects and also to the devotees, because ultimately they are also expansions of the Lord in the Tatastha separated platform. So here, that we can very clearly see in this end of this purport, cutting down the impersonal concept. And on the highest platform, the same concept. The gopis, the devotees of Vrindavan, they have completely realized this Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. We see it is just a philosophy to give an argument, to show our stand against other philosophies. But if you really want to see who is actually practicing this Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, then see the residents of Vrindavan. See the gopis. They are seeing each and every object in connection to Krishna and seeing Krishna in everything. So that is the narrations in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. We can see Brahmara Gita. We can see Gopi Gita. We can see how the greatest devotees are seeing everything in connection to Krishna. And that is the complete realization of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. Here, in this purport, it's giving the tools, the mechanism through which we can approach the Lord in the highest capacity that one could. What is that? This has been possible. The highest realization for Lord Brahma at that point was possible because of your submissive attitude in the performance of severe penance according to my order. So here, we have to focus on a couple of words very seriously. One very interesting point, just look at this word, my order. How significant is that? A Vaishnava always waits for the order of their superiors. He doesn't want to do anything independently. It is mentioned that bhakti is awarded. It's not something we can snatch. We can just grab it straight away. Something which is awarded. Especially when it comes to the higher stages of bhakti, it is the characteristics of the bhakti in itself is that it is awarded. Bhava bhakti, one of the qualities of bhava bhakti is that sudurlabha. It is rarely obtained. Why is it considered rarely obtained? One reason is that it is given. It's not, we cannot just ask for, we can ask, but it has to be given. So the Lord has to decide, okay, now I have to give. And in the same way, when we endeavor in any stages of our devotion, the Lord has to sanction. We are all stuck at one stage. I don't know which stage, it can vary, but we are stuck at one place. And we are trying to move to the next stage. And in my personal capacity, I feel, yes, I need help. It is so difficult to, you know, to go above that, where the thoughts, the actions, because which are conditioned. And now, if I want to go to the next stage, definitely, I need the mercy of the Lord. I can't do myself. And that is awarded. So each step in bhakti, even though we endeavor, the Lord has to sanction. Lord is telling, okay, now you go to the next stage. So we can say, see, from our beginning of our devotion service, the Lord is sanctioning, the Lord is awarding the bhakti. He's sanctioning, okay, now come to the next stage. So this is a step-by-step process of developing our devotion for the Lord. And there we can see the order. Where is that order significant? If we want to do anything in service of Krishna, definitely we have our free will, we have our desires. However, if we want to do any service, and especially in a very nice capacity, then it has to be ordained by senior devotees. It has to be ordained by the spiritual master. Then we actually get the mercy along with that order. And we need that order. We need that mercy. So actually, the mercy is coming in the form of instruction. In the form of the order. In devotion service, we cannot be proud of anything. Even though we are, we cannot be proud of anything. And here, that point is mentioned here, by submissive attitude. Lord Brahma performed the austerities in submissive attitude. And we are supposed to follow the same footsteps. However, we can be proud of one thing. We are not supposed to be proud of anything else, but we can be proud of one thing. And that one thing is order of the spiritual master. One can treasure, one can be proud that, okay, my spiritual master, my Lord, has given me this order to execute. Or it can be from senior devotees. So this is the only thing we can be proud of. And that contains the mercy. We can see in the pastimes of the Lord, even the Lord himself is waiting for the order of his devotees. We know the pastime of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In Jagannath Puri, we can see, you know, many instances in this regard. Even before reaching Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reaching Jagannath Puri, the initial attempt to go to Vrindavan, the initial attempt, even before reaching Jagannath Puri, he had to stop that. Because the Lord, he traveled from Nadia, and he was moving towards Vrindavan, and when he reached Kanai Natashala, the Lord was followed by thousands and thousands of followers. So at that point, Sri Sanatan Goswami met Lord Chaitanya, and Sanatan Goswami advised, even though the devotee of the Lord advised the Lord, that it is better that you do not go to Vrindavan now, especially along with this massive entourage. It is a place for meditation, it's a place for absorption. So Mahaprabhu took that instruction. He took that instruction. In fact, it's mentioned that Shuklambar Brahmachari, he was serving the Lord while the Lord was traveling from Nadia till Kanai Natashala. He was offering beautiful flower petals, he was arranging the road, he was mentally serving the Lord while he was traveling from Kanai to Kanai Natashala. And even before reaching there, he told all his devotees, all the associates, that the Lord is not going to go to Vrindavan. He will reach up to Kanai Natashala and then he will return. So he had that vision. And sure enough, the Lord followed the instruction of Sanatan Goswami. Then what to speak about in Jagannath Puri, Well, the Lord wanted to go to Vrindavan because it was his great ambition. He is in the mood of Srimati Radharani and he wanted to experience Vrindavan because of great attraction, great affection, great love for the Lord. And he saw Vrindavan known different from Krishna. And in that sake, when he wanted to go, he was asking permission from the devotees. And devotees wouldn't give that permission. They would give so many kinds of excuses. Sometimes they will say, okay, this is Chandan Yatra coming, then Snan Yatra coming, Rath Yatra coming. So, you know, a couple of years passed like this. So, then still, finally, he had to get the permission. He had to wait to get the permission of his own devotees. And the Lord himself mentioned, if I don't get the blessings of the devotees, then my trip to Vrindavan is not going to bear any fruit. So the Lord is actually showing this, that one needs the order of the devotees. So this is a point we need to take into our life also. We need the permission, we need the blessings of the senior devotees, of the spiritual master. Like that. Then our attempt will be successful. If not, we have the tendency to act very independently. Our mind, what our mind demands is independence. Because that's why we are here. We wanted to be independent. And even in devotion service, we think we want to be independent and that is going to be the best option for me. We think like that. And to correct our mind and bring it to the platform of taking guidance from the devotees, that is a big step. And it is very important. And to do so, as it is mentioned here, one needs submissive attitude. So we have to, sometimes we have to rebel against our own mind. Because the mind doesn't want to submit. When we get instructions, when we get orders, we don't want to actually follow that. Mind can rebel. Sure enough, understand, this is the nature of the mind. It can be obstinate. It can be rebellious. That's how it is. But however, with the superior knowledge, one needs to correct it. Otherwise, we are not following. Here, Lord Brahma, he is the first living entity and he is the spiritual master of the whole disciplic succession. He is a sampradaya acharya. Still, he is actually showing what's the mood of an acharya, being the real student. And in that way, he is demonstrating how to be an acharya. Because the real disciple becomes the next teacher. So that is the process. That is presented here. And in the beginning of this purport, Srila Prabhupada is bringing forth a very, very interesting and a very strong point. And we can see the confidence of Srila Prabhupada. Just see this couple of sentences Srila Prabhupada writes here. The highest perfectional stage of life is to know the Lord by actual perception, by the grace of the Lord. This can be attained by everyone who is willing to discharge the act of devotion service to the Lord as enjoined in the revealed scriptures that are standard and accepted by the bona fide acharya spiritual masters. Srila Prabhupada is guaranteeing. Who can guarantee? Unless one has it, who can actually guarantee? Only a pure devotee. Here, first sentence in itself is guaranteeing. If you follow the devotional service, this path, then one is sure to attain the perfectional stage. And what is that perfectional stage? The factual perception, known the Lord, to know the Lord by actual perception, by the grace of the Lord. Here again, how carefully this statement is made. Okay, it is to know the Lord. What is meant by know the Lord? To know the name, where he resides. Is that just, that's all, knowing the Lord? Knowing the Lord means knowing how to serve the Lord. Even in this case also, it is the same. But Lord Brahma, the Lord is telling, okay, you have seen me, you have seen my abode. What is the next step in Lord Brahma's life? What is he going to do next? He is going to serve the Lord. So ultimately, knowing the Lord means knowing how to serve the Lord. That's what is going to demonstrate now, after this, all the whole thing is coming, how the Lord Brahma is going to create as an agent of the Lord to fulfill the Lord's desire. Because the whole purpose of the material creation is to transform the conditioned souls from their sinful, independent mentality to the Lord's devotees as Lord devotees. So that is the whole purpose. And Lord Brahma is acting as a spiritual master. He is fulfilling the desire of the Lord. So the service, that is the next point. That is the most important point coming, knowing the Lord. And why it is very interesting? Because that is by the grace of the Lord. It's not, again, not just the endeavor part, but grace of the Lord is stressed here. So that is only possible by the grace of the Lord. And for us, that grace is coming through the parampara, through the devotees who are actually setting the examples. We can see devotees in all different levels. That is our good fortune. We can see devotees who are just coming to the temple, just experiencing Krishna consciousness, or just hearing the holy names, or getting a book. That is, you know, devotees just beginning the Shraddha. So that is one level. We can see devotees who are just taking up the process, just about to start chanting, Then some just started chanting 16 rounds. Then some are practicing for a few years. Some are practicing for many years. And some who are very serious, very senior. So we can see the wide spectrum of devotees in Krishna consciousness movement. Actually, they are training us. Great devotees, they are able to get instructions even from the nature, even from the examples from the nature. Then what to speak about us, where we are placed in an association of devotees where we can see examples in different degrees. So this is actually training. This is Srila Prabhupada's training mission, where it's not just only the spiritual master or only Srila Prabhupada, but we can see the gradation of the devotees. And we can aspire for going to the next stage, because devotional service, we don't go, most of the times, we don't take a big leap, but it is step by step. Then we can see, yes, actually, that is the stage of a Madhyamadhikari, but a Madhyamadhikari can see that. Who is more advanced than me? Who is of the same level as me? And who is junior to me? And he does reciprocate accordingly. So for us, that opportunity is given in the Sadhu Sangha, where we can see, okay, he or she is advanced than me. And then it inspires us. It gives us aspiration to go higher. And that example gives us the faith that if he can do, I can also do it. So that is the beauty of the Sadhu Sangha, what Prabhupada has given. In that way, when we see that good, positive experiences in others' devotional life, when we see that actually demonstrated, then it gives us an impetus to go further. It is very, very significant in our devotional life. And when we stop that, then our life is very difficult. When we stop associating with the devotees, even while living among the devotees, even when we fail to see that right example in front of us, then we are losing our own opportunity to go further in our devotional life. So it is a great fortune for all of us that we are in the association of the devotees. And we can get that order from seniors. It's a good fortune. Srila Prabhupada, he got that first order from his spiritual master, right? In his first meeting in itself. That is, you can speak English. Now you go to the English-speaking countries and spread Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada took it as a mission in the sense that his spiritual master asked him to go to the countries where English is spoken. He didn't go to some other country. He didn't go to France or, you know, any other place. Directly he tried to go to English-speaking country and he tried to execute in the same way. Of course, he did go to other countries and he spread all over the world. That's a different story. But he actually stick to his initial instruction. He followed that. So, for us, we have instructions in the different levels. And when we get those instructions, we had to treasure them and we had to try to execute. In fact, that is how we associate with the spiritual master, because the spiritual master, he gives instructions accordingly. Initially, we meet with the spiritual master, he gives a set of instructions or one instruction to follow. But as we progress in our devotional life, the spiritual master himself gives instructions which will be higher, and it can be difficult to achieve also. But he gives such kind of instructions. And that is the order. You know, these are the direct order that we have in front of us. Then we understand the spiritual master reveals his heart, what he wants us to do. He reveals his heart, what we need to achieve. He can actually tell us. He actually reveals us to the whole thing, what we need to do, what he expects from us. It is very important to know that from the spiritual master. Why? Because then we know what we are, where we are going, what we want to achieve. And if we get that instruction and when we follow it in the submissive attitude, then definitely success is there. So that has to be given by the Lord, even everything is ordained and sanctioned by the Lord himself. And Srila Prabhupada says, yes, if we follow that path, then success is guaranteed. In the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada quotes Bhagavad Gita and says, Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru, that verse Srila Prabhupada quotes and mentions that Krishna asks us to be mindful of him all the time. There has been so many Bhagavad Gitas written, translation and purport, so many. But no one stressed the real purport. Actually, it is mentioned, evam parampara praptam idam rajashiyo viduhu sa kaleneva mahatayago nashta parantapaha. That this knowledge has been lost, mentioned in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. What does that mean? Actually, the knowledge as writing, the Vedas were present. It was never lost. But the real purport was lost. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada actually brought the real meaning of Bhagavad Gita to the whole world. The real meaning of Bhagavad Gita. It was there. It was not lost completely. It was there among a few people. Especially in India. Especially in Gaudiyas and others. A few Vaishnavas, they knew the meaning of Bhagavad Gita. However, it was distorted widely. The impersonal commentaries on Bhagavad Gita, it is just rampant. It is everywhere. And the so-called impersonalists, even those who take up to Srimad Bhagavatam, they give an impersonal commentary on everything. And they don't want to read certain chapters of Bhagavad Gita. And if they read, they want to heavily misinterpret. Like when Krishna says, Aham Sarvasya Prabho, I am the source of material and spiritual world. Impersonal commentary is that Aham, I, is referring to me also. I am no different from the Lord. So Aham Sarvasya Prabho means ultimately everything is coming from me. This is how everything is misinterpreted. To the core, Krishna can't express himself. To that degree, it is misinterpreted. Wherever Krishna is speaking something, they replace that aham with aham, meaning I. The whole Bhagavad Gita was distorted. And Srila Prabhupada is giving the right purport. So Prabhupada says, look, this knowledge has been sanctioned and accepted by all the bona fide acharyas. And Srila Prabhupada gives the whole list, starting from Shankara. Shankara is a great devotee of the Lord, even though he came with a purpose to bewilder and to create unwanted progenies in this world, according to the order of the Lord. But Shankaracharya himself stated that Narayana Paravyaktat, he is the Supreme Lord Narayana, he is above the material creation, he is above the three modes of material nature. In fact, many of the interpretations on Vedanta Sutra and many of the interpretation of impersonal commentaries are brought forth not by Shankaracharya but by his followers. Because I was asking, one devotee gave me a section of arguments by Jiva Goswami against Mayavad philosophy. So I just, it's two pages, so I just read that part, and then I had a few questions. So I asked Bhanu Maharaj that where is it actually coming from? Because many of the things are very, it doesn't make any sense, the arguments. And then Bhanu Maharaj told that this section, this is not actually written by Shankaracharya. Many of the intricate things Shankaracharya didn't mention. He gave a general overview of the commentary on Bhagavad Gita and also Vedanta Sutra, but he didn't state many things, especially Ishvara, the state of Ishvara, the controller, as a, how there is a personification of the Lord in the form of Ishvara. And Mayavadis usually say, according to one's perception, the Lord is created. Say, if you want to worship a Lord, then that Lord is present. So the presence of a supreme controller is a subjective experience. That's what atheists also say. That is, your experiences are subjective. So, in fact, according to impersonalists, they say, okay, this is actually a subjective creation of the worshipper, of the sadhaka. So sadhaka is actually creating the Ishvara. On one side, they say. Second, they say, okay, this Ishvara is also a creation of Brahman. It's Vidya aspect, again, the material aspect which is coming from the Brahman, that is creating this Ishvara. So they have different kinds of, and that Ishvara and the sadhaka and the living entities, they come under the illusion of that Ishvara, of that Maya. So the whole thing is a mess. It is, you know, the arguments back and forth. From the jiva, from the sadhaka, the Ishvara is coming. And from the Ishvara, the illusion is coming. And then the sadhaka and the living entities are under the illusion of the illusion created by the Ishvara, which is ultimately is the perception or the imagination of a sadhaka. So it's a, you know, really a cyclical argument. Doesn't make any sense. And whole explanation on that side. So Maharaj said that these arguments are not actually given by Shankara. So they have the other acharyas in their line. They have explained everything and they have misinterpreted and they have given the vivid explanation of all these kind of things. So actually Shankara is a great devotee. He did his job as ordained by the Supreme Lord. Again, it's interesting. Shankaracharya had to do a thankless task, but again, as ordained by Krishna himself. So see, again, the order is so important. And we can see further, Ramarja, Madhva, Chaitanya, Vishwanath, Baladev, Siddhanta, Saraswati, Srila Prabhupada is giving the list of acharyas who actually followed the order and who accepted the real commentary of Bhagavad Gita, which is the essence. Many so-called Bhagavatam reciters are reluctant to read Bhagavad Gita. I have spoken to many. They are reluctant. They don't want to read Bhagavad Gita. And they don't want to accept Bhagavad Gita. They want to just dwell into the pastimes of the Lord and tell whatever they want to. So I stop here. See if there are any questions or comments. Yes, Prabhu. They need knowledge. Yeah. Any, yes, bro.
You brought in an important point that we want to do independently. That is because of a false ego. Not following instructions, spiritual minister. We want to do everything.
Yeah.
The biggest body.
Yeah. Yes, bro.
Even though the instruction is there sometimes,
but
instruction is there sometimes, execution becomes a problem because mind is set on it and intelligence might be the instruction to be followed, and there are certain things like the pride need to be aware, need to be aware, but actual implementation becomes very hard.
Mm.
So, what are the
If you want to get the intelligence right, we need to do... the question is, there can be instructions, but the mind says something else. Mind overrules those instructions. And since the intelligence is not active or sharp enough, we tend to follow the mind rather than the instructions. So what are the tools to strengthen the intelligence? It is spontaneous because that is our conditioning, and we are doing this for lifetimes. So we shouldn't be surprised with that attitude. But we need two things. One is sadhana in terms of strong chanting that helps to clear the mind. Second, we need to study scriptures and hear. So the intelligence is refreshed. So that along with the sadhana helps to have a steady state of mind and intelligence. Then, along when it is coupled with the association of the devotees, it actually helps a lot. If you associate with serious devotees who are following the instructions, then that gives us inspiration to do so. Yeah. Thank you. Yes, Mataji. Yeah. My understanding in this regard, instructions, we usually see instructions from different devotees. We treat in one sense according to different capacities. Say, for example, if you are getting an instruction from the spiritual master or very senior devotees, we understand the value of it in a certain way. But however, in our day-to-day life, we are getting instructions from so many people because that is necessary for the execution of our own services. So there is a kind of difference between this and that instruction. Because one instruction of the spiritual master, even though that can look like temporary, and it can look, many times it may look like it has a short-term benefit, or it is just for now. However, those instructions, even though sometimes it can look simple, those instructions are impregnated with potency which can help us throughout our life. I had this experience. One time I went to my, to my spiritual master with a problem, and I listed the problem, I explained the whole thing, but he gave me only one instruction. He didn't address the problem at all. He just told me, you study Srimad Bhagavatam. That's the only thing he told me. So, I just took that instruction, and to whatever capacity I had, I tried to do it. Then, in due course of time, it didn't happen immediately, but the problems got resolved automatically in due course of time. So many times I notice that when we are getting instruction from very senior devotees, even though that looks like a small instruction or something which looks insignificant, but that has a profound impact. Whereas a devotee of not of that high caliber, when they instruct, especially on a day-to-day affair, that is significant because otherwise we can't perform our devotional service. But it can be more contextual. But for a very senior devotee, when they give instruction, it is like it has an impact throughout. We can see this kind of examples in remembering Srila Prabhupada. Many times, Srila Prabhupada gave instructions which are very simple, very small incidents, but those incidents or small instructions became the whole meditation and life of those devotees. I remember Ambarish Prabhu's remembrance. I don't know whether in that video or something else, but he is mentioning that just one time Srila Prabhupada mentioned that the discussion came about the Vedic planetarium, and Srila Prabhupada was sitting, all these devotees were there, and Srila Prabhupada asked Ambarish Prabhu, can you fund that project? And at that moment, one devotee clicked a photo. Ambarish Prabhu was telling, and I saw that photo as well, Srila Prabhupada, all the devotees. Just one instruction, and we can see how for his life, Prabhu put so much of effort, you know, he was just going on and on with that. And also this time when I was in Mayapur, I was hearing about the Vedic planetarium, because many devotees were speaking about Vedic planetarium, how it came about. So one interesting point was coming. Ambarish Prabhu, he was very submissive, and he didn't want to really, and very humble, he didn't want to come to really forefront straight away when this project was started. However, since nothing was happening for a long time, then Prabhu actually came forward and said, you know, we want to do something. And he actually, you know, spent a lot of thoughts, a lot of energy, a lot of money, everything he did. So we can see just one instruction, you know, how it has potency throughout the whole life. So when we get instruction from such higher personalities, even though it looks simple, it has a massive presence in our life. Yeah. 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 That's right, yeah. So it's a very, very, very interesting point, because we believe, we strongly believe, we have strong faith in ourselves that, okay, if I do in my way, that will bring me happiness. We are convinced. That is our ignorance. We are convinced that if we do in our way, we will be happy, we will be fine. So because of that conviction, you know, that ignorance is building that controlling mentality and thinking, okay, I want to control, okay, I want to do it, then it'll be fine. But we can see in our own life, we have failed many times. Still, you know, that attitude, the conditioning comes, so thank you.
I'm also thinking so in yeah. regard how when the Bhagavad Gita was spoken with Arjuna, you know, like Arjuna said, sorry, I can't fight.
Correct.
And then one needs to listen to the arguments to the person, because they have their own way of thinking.
Yes.
And Krishna explained to him, he addressed all his points why he didn't want to fight, because we are not the robots, we have our own way of thinking, and we need to know, okay, you do this because of this, you do this, and he addressed all his points why this needs to be done. It wasn't like order, and then Krishna didn't tell him, now you do whatever you want. And Arjuna said, my illusion is dispelled now. So we need to treat others with understanding and respect and tell them why this needs to be done, how we need to listen to them, explain to them why it needs to be done, because the devotees are precious parts and parcel of the Lord. Lord loves everyone. He doesn't want to force or push anyone to do whatever, you know, we always have to have a choice. Maybe we'll make wrong choice, but that's the way we grow up in devotional service. But Krishna didn't want to push anyone. Arjuna, he addressed all his concerns. And I think everyone is reasonable when you explain. Everyone is reasonable. They have their own understanding. And it's not always, I think, rebelliousness and... actually, Arjuna was bewildered, but that needs to be addressed so people have peace of mind. When they do the things, they do it with devotion, not because, oh, I have to do this. And you don't feel it is the right thing to do. Devotional service means voluntarily doing what you are doing and out of love. If you don't do it out of love, only because you are forced, then it's not a devotion. That's how I see it.
Yes. Love doesn't come so easily at the beginning, so one has to do one's duty, as Krishna pointed out to Arjuna as well on the back
end. One point I heard last night I had to share in the same regard. Maharaj was making a point that being a full-time devotee, as a brahmachari, the point is we are allowing ourselves to be forced. We are giving voluntary, we are placing in a situation voluntarily, so that, you know, it is okay to be forced. No, in that sense, it's not a... So, that voluntary element is there, but at the same time, voluntarily we are allowing, okay, we can be forced, okay. If I don't come for Mangalarati, okay, then can question, you are not coming for Mangalarati, what's going on? Like that. So, voluntarily accepting the push, yeah. Fake it till make it. Okay. Alright. Thank you very much. Grantharashima Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.